The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Have you ever wondered how some obscure Old Testament laws can be relevant today?
Today, when we think about applying it to our lives to not follow an evil majority, I think about how many times believers are tempted and sometimes even yield to compromise biblical values because our culture is no longer in alignment with those biblical values.
Decoding the Torah, next on Life Today.
Well, I welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson Biddy, and I'm thrilled to have you. And we're so glad to have Rabbi Schneider back with us. I just see the joy of the Lord on you. You have a radiance. It's just real. I want you to talk to us about the Torah, because you wrote this book, Decoding the Torah, the Books of the Law. And since Christians were under grace, and yet we need to understand that everything God wrote is important, and understanding it and applying it as he wants it applied is important, and that's what you're seeking to help us do. So tell us about the importance of the Torah to the Christian.
Well, the Torah, what I love about the Torah, which is the first five books of our Bible, as most of our listeners and viewers know, it gets into the nitty-gritty of how to live. So what I've done is I've gone through over 100 laws in the Torah, talked about what they meant in their original historical context to Israel. But for us, what do they mean today as disciples of Jesus? So, for example, I'm thinking, we were talking a second ago, one of the laws of the Torah is to not follow an evil majority. And by the way, there are 613 laws in the Torah, according to Rabbinic Judaism. So one of the laws is entitled, once again, to not follow an evil majority. In the original historical context, it dealt with judging in a legal setting for the judge not to be influenced by what everybody wanted or by what everybody thought, but rather to judge righteously before the Lord. But today, when we think about applying it to our lives to not follow an evil majority, I think about how many times believers are tempted and sometimes even yield to compromise biblical values because our culture is no longer in alignment with those biblical values. I think, for example, even of the whole LGBTQ agenda and how many Christians really have stepped away from standing on God's word regarding this issue. And we're not judging people. We're all sinners saved by grace. It's not about that. It's about the fact that in the beginning, God created us male and female, and we want to affirm that. Yeah. And we want to affirm that the only way to be fruitful and multiply is by heterosexual relations. But many Christians, because of the pressure from the culture, I was in the hotel and I was watching a commercial on television, and they were advertising a product, and half of the couples that they had in the commercial were in a homosexual relationship. That's how bad it is. And many Christians, like, they backed off of God's word. Why? Because they yielded to an evil majority. We need to stand on God's word, and we need to recognize there's a price to pay. We have to be willing to pay the price to stand with God's word.
I love that. And I don't struggle with that. Yeah. I struggle with people wanting to bend away from that. Yeah. Redefine it. It's like redefining reality.
Yeah.
It's calling black, white, and light, dark, dark, light. It's just incredible. Yeah. Give us some others.
Well, here's another one that kind of applies. It's a command from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 26. And the way the law is stated is the command dealing with how God's priest should dress, the command dealing with how God's priest should dress. And where it comes from, interestingly enough, is when the priest went up to the altar in the temple, first the tabernacle, later the temple, the Lord commanded them not to go up by steps, but to build a ramp up. Now, why would that be? Again, this is why it's good to have a teacher for these kinds of things, because you can miss it. I'm going to read the scripture. It says, Exodus 20, 28, "You shall not go up by steps to my altar so that your nakedness will not be exposed on it." So the Lord was actually looking into the situation, and he saw that if the priest would go up by steps, and in those days there were no risers between the steps, so you had a big blank space between each step. So if someone was standing on the other side of the steps or beneath the steps or off to the right or left, they'd be able to look underneath the steps and see underneath the priest's robe. Oh. So the Lord says, build a ramp so that your nakedness will not be exposed.
Yeah.
So what's the point? Modesty.
Yeah.
You know, we can dress beautifully as God's people without drawing people to our flesh.
Yes.
In fact, another one of the laws deals with how God's priests should dress in the positive, that they were commanded to dress in garments of beauty and glory. So we as God's people should try to dress as attractively as we can. I mean, we all have different means that, you know, but to dress beautifully, but not to dress seductively, but yet getting back to the law we just talked about, going along with the evil majority. How many Christians are dressing seductively rather than modestly because they've gone along with the evil majority?
You know, I've been married to this girl for over 60 years. And isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen her be immodest. Mm. It's, I just love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like our girls, our children, I think our grandchildren, I get to be around all of them enough. But I know they've been influenced by that. And you can just see the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to try to be sexy to be beautiful. Sometimes,
right.
You know, if you're beautiful, you know, you could easily be a sex object, but you don't have to be. And it's just, Father, I just want girls to let the beauty that you put in them shine forth. You made them so uniquely beautiful, so special.
Amen.
God, help us to understand. Just what the rabbi's talking about right now, what you're trying to get us to see. And I pray we'll all be modest in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Share something else with us,
rabbi. That's beautiful. We need to get back to the basics here. When the book of Shemot, which is the Hebrew word for Exodus, chapter 25, verse 8, the Lord said, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I might dwell among them. So God gave Moses a blueprint for the sanctuary. It was the tabernacle in the Hebrew Bible, later became the temple in Jerusalem. And every single piece of furniture in there was architected by the Lord. The altar of incense, the table of showbread, all of it is a divine blueprint that made it possible for the Lord to dwell with his people, Israel. You know, there was a visible fire above the tabernacle by night and a glory cloud by day, you know, James, Betty, for 40 years. Well, I think of how is this relevant for us today? We're no longer building physical tabernacles that we're meeting with the Lord, right? He doesn't dwell in temples made of stone. But what it says to me is that we need to build a sanctuary in our heart where the Spirit of the Lord can rest. And I'm thinking, James, Betty, of Yeshua's words, of Jesus' words in John 14, where Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And my Father and I, he said, we'll come to you, we'll dwell with you, we'll come to you and reveal ourselves to you.
We'll make our abode with you.
We'll make our abode with you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now we become a sanctuary of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in us. I mean, he just really can. Even as I've gotten older, I become more aware of his presence. And I think it's because of what I've shared with you in previous programs, even yesterday. I've lost myself in seeing the Father's dream fulfilled. We all have dreams. We all have desires. We all have things that we might want or achieve. But what if you're totally captured by his dream and your dream becomes fulfilling his dream? You'll find yourself carried by that. There's an incredible supernatural energy enabling and giving us divine direction in how we can see it. And I'm going to tell you, Rabbi, the greatest joy that I've seen in my Father's expressions as I pray is the joy that he has a son here who is totally consumed by his dream, by the desires of his heart, to be fulfilled, his kingdom will done on his earth as it is in heaven. And see, I believe that's reality because I believe that's your dream. And I think it carries me. I'm watching this begin to just carry Betty, I think. In some ways, I've been maybe a source of inspiration to you,
absolutely,
as you have been to me,
absolutely,
since I met you. But isn't this exciting, Betty?
It really is. And what I hear you saying, too, as we're now grandparents and great-grandparents, mm-hmm, just as God takes joy in us, mm-hmm, being in His presence in our lives and us in our presence in His world, His life, that it pleases Him. It's just like when our grandchildren and now our great-grandchildren would come around, just to see them smile, mm-hmm, just to see them have fun, mm-hmm, and play, or just to see a picture of a, we just had another great-grandbaby, the beauty of that. I think that brings us joy. I think that brings joy to God's heart when He sees us joyful and happy and pleased in His presence.
You know, it reminds me, Betty, of a dream that a friend of mine had several years ago, when she said, I had this dream, Rabbi, you were playing baseball and you were hitting home runs, and the Father was taking such joy, but He wasn't taking joy in the fact that you were hitting home runs. He was taking joy in the fact that you were enjoying hitting,
yes,
the home runs.
Yes. Yes.
That's great.
That was beautiful. Yeah. That opened my mind, yeah, up to a new dimension.
Yeah. Well, share something else with us. I love,
well,
let me just say this to you. We love you. We're going to pray for you. Tell our viewers, if they wanted to see you often in some kind of an outreach, where would they go? Online? Or didn't,
yeah,
tell us? Where,
yeah,
would they go?
Well, my website, Discovering the Jewish Jesus, thank you very much, discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Tells you the place for all our different resources. Then, of course, YouTube, my YouTube channel, Rabbi Schneider, or discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And all my books like this one, Decoding the Torah, Ancient Wisdom for a Modern World, are available on Amazon.
Well, do you have a place that you teach very often in Ohio that people could know about and go and be there?
We're only doing outreaches overseas right now. Mm-hmm. So it's all media. It's all the television.
I think
radio.
You're about to go to Nigeria,
yes,
so they can follow you over there if they want to be with you in person.
That would be an interesting meeting.
Go ahead. Tell us some more. I always love listening to you.
Well, I was just thinking.
I love your spirit. His spirit in you.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. I'm taking off of this area that we were just talking about the Father just having joy and seeing us delight in Him. I'm thinking about the fact that one of the laws in the Torah in the book of Deuteronomy was where the Lord commanded all of Israel to come to Jerusalem 3 times a year for the main pilgrim festivals. And what He said they needed to do there was to rejoice before Him, to be happy in Him, and to present Him an offering. And so as I thought about that, I thought, why did the Lord just tell them 3 times a year? And I think about that number 3. So first of all, you think of God. He is the I Am. Mm-hmm. So I Am, Yahweh, He exists in the 3 dimensions of time, past, present, and future. Mm-hmm. Then you think of the tabernacle or the temple, 3 elements, the outer court, the holy place, the holy of holies, the 3 patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and finally, the 3 manifestations of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. So 3 represents wholeness and perfection. So 3 times a year, the Lord told Israel to come to Jerusalem and be happy in Him. What that says to me, James, Betty, God wants His people to be happy.
Yes.
We know it's hard sometimes, that life is hard, difficulties all around us, but internally, God wants us by His grace to rise above it and to rejoice in Him and cultivate an attitude of happiness,
amen,
in Him.
You know, when you say the word happy, the word pops up in my mind, joy.
Yes.
And I don't know if joy is the more biblical or more spiritual term than happy. Happy seems a little frivolous. To me, joy seems like a resident reality of God, who He is, His joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The Lord having joy is our strength. His joy over us gives us strength, no doubt. But He also wants us to have joy in Him. He gives us joy. And that joy is strength to overcome great heaviness. So I just want to say I live with the spirit of joy. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it is. And you're absolutely right. I mean, a lot of times we think about happiness and it's circumstantially related, where the Lord wants us to cultivate that spirit of joy. I'm using the word happiness as a synonym, by choosing to focus on the right things. Even if we're going through hard times, we can have joy because we believe that God's causing all things to work together for good, to conform us to His image. So absolutely, by focusing on the right things, by focusing on biblical and eternal realities, we can walk through life with joy, with an eternal happiness, not a happiness that's circumstantial from the world, but a happiness and a contentment that comes from focusing on the light.
You know, when I walked in the room back here before we came out, there was just joy all over you. You got up out of the chair, took my hand, and I feel like there's just a joyful presence on you. And I want to thank you for that. Tell us something else. Give us something
now. What's a good one that you'll love? Because I know you wrote the book on seeing God's glory in animals.
Yeah.
So one of the laws in the Torah is to show compassion to animals. And what I love about that is when I understand that God is really concerned about how I treat animals, it makes me aware that His glory is all around His creation. It's in the chipmunks, it's in the squirrels, it's in the bunnies, it's in the fish. I mean, it just causes you to be more aware of the reality that the whole earth is full of His glory.
Go ahead, let's teach us something else here.
A really practical one is when the Lord commanded the priest to burn sweet incense to Him every morning. Mm. And what I like about this is the practicality of it once again. You think about the priest, every morning in the tabernacle in the temple, they had to burn the sweet incense. So I'm thinking about the fact, James, Betty, there was probably a lot of mornings that they physically felt tired. There was probably some mornings they didn't get a good night's rest last night. There was maybe some mornings that maybe they were dealing with a health issue, but you know what? It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. They did the same thing. They burnt sweet incense to the Lord every morning. I love this because when I wake up in the morning, I don't ask myself, do I feel like being in the Word this morning? I don't ask myself, do I feel like dedicating myself to the Lord today? No, I want to do what the priest did. I begin every day by burning sweet incense to the Lord. I'm in His Word. I'm talking to Him. I'm being aware of what He's doing in my life. I'm looking to Him for the day, for strength for the day. You begin the day by burning sweet incense to the Lord, not because you feel like it. The priests sometimes were tired, sometimes they felt great, but they did it every day regardless of how they felt. And as God's people, we need godly discipline in our life to really, as you were saying earlier, Betty, we need both the written Word and we need the Spirit, but we need the discipline of the written Word to keep going higher and deeper and becoming stronger.
You know, I rejoice when I listen to the Word. I rejoice when I'm being corrected by the Word. Mm-hmm. But I'm having a joy now at this point in my life where I'm rejoicing in the fact of how much harmony I have with the Word. When I get up in the morning and I wake up, the first thing I do, and I'm going to say this go on for a couple of hours, all I do is thank Him and praise Him. I could just start praising Him for our 30 grandchildren. And all of my cedar little faces, and most of them are great-grandchildren now. 11 are grown and married and given us all these babies. But I just rejoice. I rejoice over the blessings. I thank Him. I praise Him. And I just can't seem to stop praising Him, loving Him. Mm-hmm. To me, that is that joyful incense. Yeah. And that means it's become part of who I am. And let me just say it. It's like He just corrected me. He said, say it more clearly. It's part of who I am in you. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Part of who I am in you. And He wants to live in all of us. Rabbi, thank you. If you'd like to get this book, Decoding the Torah, we'll send it to you if you'll help us rescue some children. Most of them are children. Some of them are just young people that are being sexually trafficked all over Asia, all over Africa. Would you please, we need to complete a beautiful house, a rescue center in Asia. And we're going to need some big help to do it. I want you to listen to our mission director, John Yates, as he just spends so much time on the mission fields, putting God's arms around people that you enable us to love and help. Just listen to the Father's heart in this Father's heart as He's on the mission field. And please reach out and help us put God's arms around the people He gave His Son to redeem. Please do that. Watch closely.
So I'm standing here in the courtyard of one of our rescue homes here in Southeast Asia, where our team has spent most of the day experiencing what it's like for these girls to live here and to deal with the various house moms and the counselors and seeing all the programs that go back into healing and restoring a soul. To understand how desperately these safe houses are needed is almost beyond description. As I was sitting talking with a country director for this particular mission partner today, and as a dad, I've experienced this for so long, and at times you wonder, you know, do other dads feel the same way I do? And as I watch this dad who's got two young daughters talking about the trauma that he has had to listen to, and I can see that I'm not alone, that dads feel the same pain that I feel for these girls. And every single one of them have been violated. It sickens me, but I've been able to come here today and I've watched the grace of God. Every one of them are getting the gospel. Every one of them have given their hearts to Christ. Mission partner after mission partner, same story. It is the emphasis of everything we do is that they have the opportunity to share Jesus because he's the only hope for true healing in the heart of these children. So I'm asking you right now, would you please join us so that we can continue to establish safe homes all throughout the world, but specifically here in Southeast Asia.
You know, I was watching John there, and I was just so happy to be able to see children in a place that's advanced, where love's been poured out. And the very last picture you saw was more than 25 years ago when we started working with the people that felt called to the trafficked, the sexually molested, and a couple that had gone there, sold everything in Hollywood, where they had power plants for Hollywood. And they went over there and they were renting houses, just take care of people. We found them and they had loved us on television and part of how they were inspired to the mission field. And when we found what they were doing, we said, we're gonna help you rent houses. And we ended up helping them build that beautiful place. Thousands have gone through there. As sex capital of the world, it was known as. And that house is there. Well, now we're about to get another one, not anything quite like that, but a beautiful place that we need another over $500,000 to go ahead and complete it. Please, Lord, give a big gift toward that, would you? And then help us. It's $128 to rescue a child. That's what it costs to get one out, to rescue them, begin to restore them, and teach them a way to live. Betty, I'm looking over here at this beautiful throw. This is the prettiest throw. I have poor circulation in my legs get cold. I'm gonna cover with this. You get this for a gift of $128. I can't even imagine you going and buying it for that. This is absolutely is it beautiful?
Yeah, I might use it in the studio. It's so cold in here.
Well, you certainly could. But we wanna send you this to bless you. You see, you try to send us nice things. You want to send us this power, provision, and peace study guide. It's fact, you tell us you'll give us Rabbi Schneider's book. If we'll just help you help others, you got it. That's what we're about. We're here to help you. We're here to help you. This program has been to help you. But we're asking you, would you go and get your bank card and use it like a check? If you get a checkbook, make a check to life. If you use a bank card, use it like a check. But please, make the largest gift you can. If you can give $1,280, we want to send you this incredible bronze, the Lion of Judah, with the real power of the Lion, the cross. This is spectacular. You are putting your arms around people God gave his son to redeem. You're helping us do that. Father, help everyone to make a gift, to give the greatest gift of life, which you give in Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Would you right now make the gift God put on your heart? Go get your bank card. Go online. Call. We will send gifts to bless you. But boy, are you going to bless the overlooked, the hopeless, and you're going to give them hope and love and life. Thank you.
Innocent children longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, your gift today of only $128 will help reach, rescue, or restore a child and change their destiny forever. Gifts of $64 or $32 will be combined with support from others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of sexual slavery. Currently, our life rescue centers in Southeast Asia are at maximum capacity. More space is urgently needed, and we must complete and renovate a new rescue home immediately. Please consider a very special extra gift, as we urgently need $1.25 million above our normal budget to complete and renovate this place of hope. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you power, provision, and peace, bringing together the life-changing truths of Acts, Romans, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians in the Passion Translation. These books come alive with fresh revelation and timeless power. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the beautiful and soft Perfect Peace blanket, bearing the words of Isaiah 26:3 as a meaningful reminder that those who trust in the Lord are never alone. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will help save 10 children. And you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I just want to take this opportunity to thank James and Betty Robison and Life Outreach Organization for partnering with us to reach, to rescue, and restore these beautiful girls with our anti-human trafficking border monitoring work in that part of South Asia. There are children who are dying. There are women who are asking for help. And we're looking to you, my friends. You have the opportunity to make the greatest impact that you have ever made in life. When you see the girls being trafficked and being rescued and reunited with the family, and girl being set free and now building her own life, what an impact you have made with your giving. Together, we can make a huge difference in the lives of these beautiful souls. Thank you again.
Well, we've really enjoyed Rabbi Snyder. We love you. We're going to stay close because we're going to always pray with and for each other.
Thank you.
We're going to rejoice in the Lord together. We're going to try to get his arms. I know you're on your way to Nigeria, and I've been all over that part of Africa. Mm. Wow. God bless the outreach there.
Thank you.
Indescribably. All of you who are watching, please know that when you make a gift, you're actually giving the greatest gift.
Amen.
Because what we share is life in Christ. But we don't just talk about love. We demonstrate love. And you make it happen. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Rabbi, thanks for being with us. Come back soon.
Okay? I love you guys. I love you both.
Love you, buddy.
God bless you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Father, bless this man. Bless this great man. In Jesus' name. And bless all of you, every one of you watching. Thank you for helping us bless others. Thank you so much.
To me, I'll be your refuge. Hide under my wing.
He said, okay, we win some battles, but the battle's not over. Don't take that armor off. I've got more for you to do.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.